Welcome to Christ Church. My name is Reverend Mike. I'm the associate pastor here. We are so glad that you're joining us online. We're about to get into a new sermon series. Let's get started. All right, our new sermon series is called Playlist. Throughout the summer, we're going to be preaching some of the most popular verses we see in the Bible, and we're going to be throwing a few movie clips your way. The Bible verses we're going to preach on are common ones, some that you see on t-shirts. Maybe you see them go up and down your Facebook timeline. Maybe your Bible app shoots them to you every once in a while. But most of you are going to know these. We're going to do the sermon series for a couple of reasons. First, we want to make sure you're a literate Christian. We want you to know that the scripture is contextually what it is supposed to be. And we also want you to know how this scripture is going to apply to your life. One of the toughest things to see is a Christian who's using the Bible incorrectly. For instance, if you're using the scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength," to go to Dairy Queen and eat 10 blizzards, you're probably not interpreting that scripture correctly. On the more serious end of things, sometimes people use Bible verses incorrectly and it doesn't go well for them in their life. And they come to a conclusion that says God is not faithful. Well, of course, that's not true. God is faithful. Sometimes we just need to reinterpret what those verses mean so that we can get the full power of the promise of God. So let's press play and begin this series. Our first verse in this sermon series is from Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." In my experience, this is one of the most popular scriptures that we come across of in the Bible. I actually have it engraved on a plaque in my office. It's here at the Fairview Heights campus on a wall in Scripture Hall. And also this time of the year, the verse is especially popular because of the graduations that are occurring. Jeremiah 29:11 was one of the verses I took personally and helped me to trust God with my future. After I graduated college, I applied it and applied and accepted to a seminary, and everything was on track to accomplish all that I believed God wanted to do in my life. Then, as the summer went on, I started to waver a little bit and thought to myself, well, I have a bachelor's degree, I have some ministry experience, I've been taught about the Bible and theological studies. Maybe I should just be a minister in the United Methodist Church instead of a fully ordained elder, which I knew God's plan was for me. So I started to pray seriously if I needed to kind of go in a different direction. You know, even when we think God gives us a plan, it's okay to keep asking God about it. Now, if you have some peace of God in your heart about it, then just go forward. But if you've got some questions, make sure you bring it to God because He loves to talk to us about our future. After I prayed about it, later that week, it was church time. We were in Lexington, Kentucky, and we went to a church called Quest. When we were there that Sunday, the pastor gave a sermon that I knew was just for me. Have you ever had that time before where you hear a message or something that occurs that you're like, whoa, this is specific to exactly what I'm going through? Well, that's how it was for me that day. What's funny about this sermon, it was strangely ordinary. The pastor walked up to the stage with just a flip chart easel, one of those paper flip charts. He drew a little dot on the left side of the board. Then he drew a simple cross, just a simple two-line cross. And he started to draw a line from the left to the right. And right when he got into the middle of that piece of paper, he said, "Many of you have been given a goal that God wants you to reach. You should be happy you've made it this far, but I'm here to tell you today that you've not yet completed that goal. You're only halfway there." Now, the pastor kept talking, but I zoned out because I couldn't believe how close what he had just said was going on in my life and how strangely simple the message was. It was like God was sitting me down, looking right across from me and plainly saying, "You are not done with this goal yet, Michael." In Jeremiah 29:11, God is plainly telling the original audience that God had a great future for them, but they had a long way to go until they reached that goal. Let's start off with a little historical context. We find ourselves around 600 BC, with the prophet Jeremiah being God's spokesperson to God's people. Now, Jeremiah was a reluctant prophet at best. He gets called to God, to this ministry, at around the age of 17, and he's really not that happy about it. If you know the first chapter of Jeremiah, you know that God told Jeremiah he was appointed to be a prophet to the nations, and that God knew him before he was even born. Jeremiah didn't want anything to do with that, though. He did not want to accept the call that God had on his life. Now, there's two reasons for this. First, Jeremiah's inexperience and youthfulness makes him feel like he is just over his head with this call. Second, the people of Jeremiah's time hated to hear from the prophets. Jeremiah looks at himself and thinks, I'm too inexperienced and the people don't want to hear from me? Why, God, are you asking me to do this? God calms Jeremiah by telling him, Jeremiah, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. And he reassured Jeremiah that he was created for this mission. So Jeremiah accepts God's invitation, goes out, and starts to work as a prophet to the nations. Now, between Jeremiah chapter 1 and 29, where we are today, we see the story of rebellion unfolding between God and the people. God reveals to Jeremiah the people need to turn away from their sins, but the people don't turn. This is a regular pattern in prophetic literature in the Old Testament. Prophet, he warns the people, they don't listen. God brings consequences. The people's consequences in this instance for not listening to God is exile from their Jerusalem home in Babylon. Now, let's remember, Jerusalem was the center of the people's religious and cultural identity. Thus, for them to be exiled from Jerusalem was a huge consequence and an attention getter. God had been plainly trying to tell the people they were headed for a bad direction, yet the people, they didn't want to listen. When we find ourselves here in Jeremiah 29, the people are exiled, they're feeling the consequences of their sin, and they are ready to get back home. What we see emerging within them is a discontentment of their current circumstance, and they want to know how long it will be until they leave. Whenever we get discontent about the future, we can get away from the goal God has for us. But discontentment is really not all that bad. I think discontentment is an opportunity to recommit ourselves to God's future for us. These times of discontentment are crucial crossroads for us choosing what God has for our future. And I want to give us a few tips to stay on track for God's future for us. First, we have to listen to the right voices. When the people of Israel were waiting on God's future plans, they began to get anxious. They did not want to wait a long time for God's future promises to be fulfilled. And whenever we have anxiety or chaos surrounding us, it's really easy to listen to the wrong voices. The wrong voices told the people God's plan was to go home quickly. But the truth was, it would be decades until the people returned to Jerusalem, their home. The false prophets of the time, they were like salesmen trying to say the right things so that the people would buy their product. They were easily able to sell those products because the people were surrounded by this chaos. They wanted to listen because of the anxiety it was helping them. You know, last month, a sales pitch got me pretty good. I went to a local video store to get a movie. I just wanted one movie, but I ended up leaving with four movies. Now, usually when I hear a sales pitch, I am very quick to politely say, no, thank you, I don't want any. Maybe to a fault. Maybe if it's a great sales pitch coming my way, I just default. That's just me. That's just how I operate. But that day at the video store, there was some kind of chaos surrounding me. That chaos took the form of a 1.5-year-old named Ava Grace, my youngest daughter. Now, as soon as we walked into the store, and every time we walk into the video store, she just loses her mind. She sees all the movies that she sees all the movies. She starts grabbing them and taking them off the shelves. And my goodness, they have so many candy and treats, she just can't handle herself. One of her favorite things to do is to go grab a movie for me from some obscure place and bring it to me. Now, I never know where those movies go, so that's always a hunt. But she'll do this over and over again, so it breaks up my process of trying to find a movie. She's kind of like a cat that kills a mouse and then brings it to your front porch, you know, because she's like proud of it. She wants you to be proud of her for hunting down these movies. Once I finally picked out my movie and got to the counter, all I could hear from the worker was that if you rent a couple movies, you get one for free and some 50% off package, blah, blah, blah. But all I can tell you is I ended up getting four movies and paying for that 50% off package, which is something I would never, ever do. I took two steps out of that door and thought to myself, you know what? The funny chaos surrounding me that day made me turn my brain off and listen to the sales pitch over the voice of good common sense. The people of Israel had chaos, anxiety, and confusion surrounding them, and they were prime candidates to listen to any other voice but God's. You know, we have to choose to listen to the right voices to stay on track of God's future for us. One of the most common voices we have to get out of our ears is the voice of negativity. If we have negative people in our lives, or we are in an environment that reinforces negativity, we may have to walk away. Because every time that negativity is spoken into our lives, it really does get us off track of what God has for us. Now, there are some situations, y'all, where we can't get away from negative influence. That's just reality, right? If you're in a situation where God is asking you just to stay, whether it be in a job or something like that or around people, here's probably the main reason for that. God may be teaching you a deep lesson. The main reason God holds us in a situation when we want to get out, and most of the time he would ask us to get out, is that he wants us to begin to hone in on his voice and not let the outside voices distract us. And whenever we get into a chaotic, negative situation and God's saying, be still, God's going to pour into us a deep stillness that he could have never done outside of that situation. The next tip for staying on track for God's future for us is this. We have to embrace our place. Since the people of Israel were over-focused on leaving Babylon, they were missing what God was teaching them while they were there. They were not embracing their place. God tells them to seek the welfare of Babylon, because in the city's welfare, the people will find their welfare. So why should the people want good to happen to the city and the government that took them from their homes? Well, because if the government does well, they'll do well. The people had to understand they were going to be in Babylon for a really long time. They needed to embrace the welfare of the city because it was going to have a direct effect on their everyday lives. If we're in a place that we don't necessarily like, we should still pray and hope for the best outcome to occur. If we have a job we don't like, but we're feeling God says stay, we should pray that everything goes well, that a blessing would fall on that place. Because if it doesn't, it's going to have a negative effect on us as well. If we're going through a tough season, why would we want to make it any tougher than it already is? Also, when we embrace our place, we gain the outcomes God desires for us. I recently heard a coach say to his team, embrace the process and you'll love the results. He was trying to get his team to understand if they wanted to have fun and win, it started with his coaching philosophy. Embracing our place is saying to God, God, you know, I don't understand why you got me here. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I trust you. Another reason God wanted the Israelites to embrace their place was because he wanted them to positively influence the Babylonian Empire. Let's be clear, the Israelites did not like the Babylonians. They were really mad at the Babylonians for all that they'd done to them. But you know what? God loved the Babylonians. Thus, in the midst of the Israelites paying for their sins, God decides kind of to kill two birds with one stone. He wants the Israelites to show the Babylonians what it means to have a relationship with God. When we embrace our place, God begins to use our lives to speak to other people. You and I are the only Bibles that most people are going to read. When people look at our lives, they should see some kind of witness to God's living in this world. When we embrace our place, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker will see Jesus in us. the way that we walk with God, may leave an incredible impression on their lives. That is why we are here, after all, isn't it? Trying to allow people to see Jesus in us and connect him with Christ. And that leads me to my final tip on staying on track for God's future for us. That is, refuse to give up. God's people had to come to the point of accepting their stay in Babylon, that it was going to be there for the long haul. It was not the future that they pictured, that's for sure. Whenever we come to the point of what we want our future to look like, and then what God wants our future to look like, sometimes they can be different, and sometimes they are a tough pill to swallow. In my mind, if we come to that point and our picture and God's picture is way off, we really have only a couple choices. First of all, we can try to make our picture of life go, our future go, right? And say, God, I'm not going to listen to Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to do it my way. Oftentimes what happens is we end up hurting ourselves or we end up hurting others. And for us who thinks hurting others isn't that big a deal, it is a big deal. We're not supposed to hurt others. Another option we have is we can pout about it. I know some people who will spend their whole lives pouting about it. I don't have time to do that. I don't know about you. And let me give you the third option. Or we can rise to be the men and women that God has created us to be. I like that option. And I think it's the best one in every circumstance. One of my all-time favorite movies is a movie called Rudy. The movie was made in 1993, and it's based on the true story of Daniel Rudy Rudiger. Rudy dreamed of playing football at the University of Notre Dame, which has a rich history of football and academics. The problem for Rudy was this. He was too small, he wasn't athletic, and he got poor grades, all of which were seemingly insurmountable obstacles. But he went to a community college, and he was persistent, and he got accepted to Notre Dame as a student and actually made it onto the football team's practice squad. So that's not the regular, it's a part of the regular team, but they don't go out during game day. They're just there to help really during the week prepare the main players for the games. Well, after he got in, the height of his dream was to run onto the football field with the team on game day. Now, Rudy is promised that during his senior year, he will get to run through that tunnel and get on that field just one time. You know, he probably wouldn't play, but that was the height of his dream. But due to a coaching change, his dream is dashed. He decides, even though he'd put in all of that work, he's ready to quit until a grounds worker friend talks with him. Take a look at this. Although there are some artistic liberties taken with this movie, that relationship with the grounds crew gentleman was actually a real relationship that he had. He encouraged Rudy never to give up throughout his entire stay at Notre Dame. If we're going to reach the future that God has for us, we have to decide that we're not going to give up either. Maybe you hear Jeremiah 29:11 and you're at the beginning of a long journey. Can you hear God whispering to you saying, get started. I have something incredible for your future. Or maybe you're in the middle of the journey and you're questioning whether or not God has this full plan that you originally thought he did. Or maybe you're at the finish line. All I know is that we got to pray. We got to hold on and we can't give up. Because you know what? God is faithful. If you've put in the hard work, God is going to take care of you. The future might not look exactly like we hope for sometimes, but in the long run, God's going to provide us everything that we need, but we got to hold on. Christ Church, let's believe God has a future and a hope for us so that we can experience all that God has planned. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives here and for what you're doing through Christ Church. Lord, we hear Jeremiah 29:11, and sometimes we've been excited and we've seen your faithfulness. Other times, God, we thought we applied that to our life and maybe we felt like we hit a ceiling. I pray, oh God, that through the preaching of your word and most of all just through your word, God, that people start to understand how this promise begins to play out in their life. Lord, we give you honor and praise for all that you're doing here and we lift this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.